Welcome back, everybody. This is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. I am Miguel Gonzalez, thanking you once again for joining us for the study of God's precious word. Today we're going to be talking about, the title of this message is Prevailing Prayer. And we're going to be looking at several principles, not an exhaustive list, but several principles that will help us to experience prevailing prayer. I don't know if you know much about missionary and prayer warrior Rosalind Goforth. I confess I don't know a great deal about her except what I recently read and studied about her. But apparently she was a missionary and a prayer warrior, somebody who was truly committed to the discipline of prayer and saw God move in her life and in her ministry and in the work that she was doing in the mission field as a result of prayer, fervent prayer, sincere prayer, heartfelt prayer. And many years back, she wrote a book entitled How to Know God Answers Prayers. She listed or suggested 9 secrets or 9 principles to prevailing prayer. So we're going to go ahead and look at those 9 secrets or principles that she wrote of in that book entitled How to Know God Answers Prayer. And it would be beneficial for us to really take heed to the secrets or principles that she's going to discuss, because this was a person who experienced the power of God in her life and who experienced a tremendous transformation in her own life because of her relationship with God, and much had to do with the fact that she was a person of prayer. And she believes that prayer was one of the great reasons that she experienced what she did in relation to her experience with God and the work that she accomplished for God while on this earth. So again, the title of this message is Prevailing Prayer. The first secret or the first principle of which she spoke of was a contrite heart before God and forsaking sin. And I want to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles, and many of you are very familiar with this passage. In fact, in recent years and decades, we have heard this passage quoted over and over, particularly because of events that have taken place in our country and around the world. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Okay, according to this passage, and this is the passage that she drew this secret or principle from, if we are going to experience prevailing prayer, if we're going to have a successful prayer life, if we're going to experience God answering prayer the way we hope God will answer prayer, we must be a people of contrite humility before God, and we must be people who forsake sin. Listen, we must, remember the passage we just looked at, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, if we do that as individuals, we will experience prevailing prayer. We will experience success in our prayer life. Now I know, because it's true for me, and I know it's been true for many great men and women of God, that prayer, the discipline of prayer, is a challenging discipline. It takes a great deal of effort for a Christian, even a mature Christian, to, on a regular basis, come quietly before the Lord and kneel before Him seeking His face on behalf of his or her own life and on behalf of the life of people around him or her. It's a challenging and difficult discipline, but it is an essential discipline. Unless we are people of prayer, we won't experience much victory or success in our spiritual lives. And in fact, God challenges us in that He allows trials and tribulations to come into our lives precisely because He wants those to cause us to come to Him in prayer. But if we're going to experience victory in prayer, we must be humble. We must be humble before Him. And we must be people who are willing to forsake sin. The second principle is that we ought to seek God with our whole heart. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verses 12 through 13, listen to what Jeremiah says. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. An important principle to remember in our prayer life is that when we come to God in prayer, we should be a people who seek Him with our whole heart. So the first is that we should be humble before God and should forsake our sin. And we should be a people who seek God with our whole heart. Thirdly, we must have faith in God. We must have faith in God. Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now this is not a name and claim. This is not a passage that teaches name and claim. This is not a passage that entitles us to come to God and make demands before God. It doesn't mean that because I want a Mercedes-Benz, all I have to do is ask for it and believe it's going to be mine. And when I walk outside my front door tomorrow to go to work, it's going to be parked right out there with the keys in the car waiting for me to start it. This is not a name and claim. This is one of those things that happens when you pray in the name of Christ and in accordance to the will of Christ for your life. But what it does say is that we must have faith. If we are going to ask God to do something great in our life, something that is in accordance to His will, we must believe it to be so, and it will be so. For example, again, not one of those things that I can ask God for helping me win the lotto. This is one of those things where I ask God to give me insight and understanding of His Word. If I believe that will be true in my life, God will give it to me because it's in accordance to the will of God. This is an example of me coming to God and asking God to create in me a pure heart. Or when I sin, to restore to me the joy of my salvation. If I believe that is going to be God's answer to my prayer, then I will get it. Because it's in accordance to God's will. It's not a name and claim it. It's about asking for God what He wishes to give us in accordance to His will. And when we exercise faith and believe that He's faithful to do it, He will do it. That's why the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If I can't have faith in God answering a prayer in my life, how can I have faith that He saved me? How can I believe He has saved me from hell if I can't even believe God will grow my faith by me asking Him to grow my faith? Thirdly, faith in God is a secret or principle for effective and victorious prayer. Fourth, obedience. Obedience is critical. 1 John chapter 3. Listen, you're not going to get anything from God unless you first obey God. And in fact, many of us are not even obeying God in that we don't even pray. And we're talking about prayer. But 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, listen to what John says. Or actually, I'll start in verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. You want to experience victory in your prayer life? Obey God. Obey His commands. Obey His statutes. Obey what He teaches you and instructs you in Scripture. You know what? We have the arrogance, even as believers, we have the arrogance to come to God as disobedient children who continue to sin willfully. And we come to God in our sin and demand of God to give us. As if we had the right. Listen, the only reason we even have the right to stand before God and in His throne of grace is because of the simple fact that we have been made anew by the blood of Jesus. Because in and of ourselves, we couldn't even come before God and stand before God, much less expect and demand of God anything. Listen, if we are obedient, God takes great joy in answering our prayer, in asking us, in giving us whatever it is we ask, as long as it's in accordance to His will. Again, not a name it and claim it. It's about asking for that which is beneficious for us and in accordance to His will. But if we're not obedient, folks, let's not expect anything from God. Obedience is a requirement for victorious prayer. Fifth, dependency on the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses or in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You hear what the Word of God says? We don't even have the vocabulary or the skill to come to God with our own words. It takes the Holy Spirit to interpret our prayers and bring them to God. We must depend on the Holy Spirit to successfully bring to the Father and to Jesus our prayers and petitions. It is the prayers, it is the words of the Holy Spirit, groans that cannot be uttered, that come before God on our behalf, that causes Him to answer those prayers. If we want to experience victory in our prayer life, if we want to experience prevailing prayer, we must have dependency on the Holy Spirit. So let's rehash so far where we've been. We must have a contrite or humility before God and forsake our sin. Number one. Number two, we must seek God with our whole heart. This is for us to be able to be successful in our prayer life and experience victory through prayer. We must seek God with our whole heart. Three, we must have faith in God. Four, we must be obedient. Obedience is key to a successful prayer life. 6, dependency on the Holy Spirit. Number 7, importunity. Importunity, let me illustrate what that is all about. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 10. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I said I was going to read through verse 10, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Importunity. In other words, what God or Christ is saying to us here about prayer is that we ought to beseech God from every direction when we pray. We ought to insist, as we pray to God, for God to answer those prayers that are prayed in accordance to His will. Listen, and the second half of that passage makes the point for the first half. The friend comes and knocks and asks for bread. The guy inside says, listen, I'm not giving you anything. It's late. The door's locked. We're all home and we're in bed. But the story implies that the person knocking at the door continues to knock and insist on being given bread. Now, he's not being impolite. He just needs bread because there's a guest at his house whom he's unable to feed. And not feeding somebody in those days, a guest at your home, was a no-no. In essence, what we're saying is that the individual insisted, and because of his insistence, the man inside finally opened the door and gave his neighbor the bread. And we know it's importunity or insistence that the passage is talking about. Because in the second half of that passage, where was I? Luke 11, 5 through 10. Listen to what it says starting in verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Now, he doesn't stop at saying ask. He then says, seek, and you will find. He doesn't stop at ask and seek. He goes on and says, knock, and the door will be open to you. In other words, when you come to God, God doesn't just want you to come along and, Lord, can you create in me a pure heart? And never say anything again about God giving you a poor or creating you a poor. He wants you to be insistent because insistence implies sincerity of heart. If I'm not sincere about wanting to receive something from God that is in accordance to His will, then I'll only say it once and leave it at that. But if I continue coming to God and I ask and then I seek and then I knock, then God has demonstrated to me, He doesn't need to know this, He knows this already, but God has demonstrated, allow myself to demonstrate to myself that I am sincere enough to really want what I'm asking for. Therefore, One of the principles or secrets to victorious prayer is being insistent, not on what you demand of God, but on asking God for that which is in accordance to His will. Number 7. And we've talked about this to some extent already, but it's an important one. We are to ask in accordance with God's will. That's important, folks, because we live in a day and age where we have many preachers preaching this prosperity gospel, preaching this name it and claim it gospel, a gospel and a doctrine that impugns the name of God and breaks His heart. God is more than happy and takes great joy and pleasure in answering our prayers, particularly those that are prayed and asked in accordance to His will. You know why? Because that which is in accordance to His will is what is best for us. We ask for the most ridiculous things, the most selfish things in the world, not knowing that if God were to give us all those things, we would have nothing but trouble in our lives. Plus, God doesn't want us to think that we are any more than what we are, and that by thinking that much of ourselves, we have the right to come to God and make demands. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the same as saying, if we ask for anything in the name of Jesus. That's the same thing. Asking for something in accordance to God's will is the same as asking for something in the name of Jesus. Don't confuse. Asking in the name of Jesus is not a formula. It's not something we attach to the end of every prayer because that's what gets us. No. Asking in the name of Jesus is simply asking for something in accordance to the will of God. But that is essential if we're going to experience prevailing prayer and victory in our prayer life. Number 8, and this goes along with the one we just talked about, that which we should ask in Christ's name. John 14, and we're moving quickly now, 13 through 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Again, this goes hand in hand with asking in accordance to God's will. Christ is a source of all things that He gives us pertaining to God and to life and godliness. But what we ask, we ought to ask in His name, which is in accordance with His will. And lastly, 9, we must be willing to make amends for wrongs to others. And this is important, folks. Matthew chapter 5. This one we are more than willing to overlook. 5:23 through 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Listen, if we're not willing to make amends for the wrongs we've done to others, we're not going to experience victory in our lives. We must be willing to forgive as Jesus forgave us and make amends with others for the sins that we have committed against them, or we will not experience victory in prayer. Father, we are grateful for Your word, for the fact that we can approach the throne of grace in prayer, and that You answer all our prayers in accordance to Your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Truth to Live By. Truth to Live By is a production and ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. This ministry is a listener-supported ministry. Would you please consider prayerfully supporting us both with your prayers and financially? It is because of the contributions and the partnership of God's people that we are able to continue to bring this program to you each week on this radio station. We need your partnership so that we may be able to continue preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. It is indeed our prayer that God is being glorified through the work that we do. If you are a believer, it is our prayer that God is using this to strengthen your faith and equipping you for service so that you may be able to do the work of the kingdom in this world. And if you are an individual who has not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we pray that you would take this opportunity to do so simply by praying this simple prayer. Father, I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge I can do nothing to save myself or contribute to my salvation. I believe Jesus is who He claimed to be and who the Bible claims Him to be. I ask Him to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, to create me anew, and to give me the gift of eternal life. For it is in His name that I pray. Amen. If you have prayed this prayer, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that you have been adopted and brought into the family of God, and you are now His child. Will you please let us know if you've made that decision so that we may be able to contact you in return and rejoice along with you. If you wanted to request any CD copies of any of our messages or any other resources that we have, we are asking that you do so in writing. And I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. I also want to make you aware of our website. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. If you're requesting any resources, please address your letter to Truth to Live By, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Please visit our website where you can get a great deal of information about us at www.rffiministries.org.